Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today I want to speak to you on the subject, Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus the Good Shepherd. And we are going to base it on the book of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a very popular scripture, piece of scripture, and we recite it, but I believe that there is a lot of revelation in it so that we see our Savior, our Lord, as the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 10, Jesus Christ said over and over, he said that I am the Good Shepherd. And I pray that your eyes will be open to see Jesus as the Good Shepherd, because the whole of Psalm 23 really teaches us about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. There are benefits that we receive when we come to the realization that Jesus is a good shepherd. Hallelujah. So we are going to go through Psalm 23 and we are going to extract from there the benefits we have in seeing Jesus as the good shepherd. Hallelujah. It begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, if you see Luke chapter 15, you will get to understand that Jesus is truly a unique shepherd. He is that type of shepherd who has 100 sheep and one went astray, and he went after the one sheep that went astray and retrieved the sheep, found the sheep, and look at how good he is. He goes his own way to find the sheep, and when he finds the sheep, he doesn't scold the sheep. What he does is that he leaves the sheep and puts the sheep on the shoulder. Wow! You know, like trying to take care of the sheep, pampering the sheep. And that is how you must feel when you know that Jesus is your shepherd. If you are a believer, then Jesus Christ is your shepherd. And that is the kind of treatment he wants to give to you. Hallelujah. Once all of us were astray and he found us. When he found us, he put us on the shoulder. Hallelujah. As to whether he has reached their home or not, we cannot tell. But he said that in that parable in Luke 15, it is when he reached home that he gathered everybody and said, let us rejoice because I found the sheep. I don't know whether Jesus has reached home yet, but I believe that a time is coming that there's going to be great joy from all of the sheep that Jesus has managed to gather all throughout these years. So Jesus wants us to feel like a sheep on the shoulders, on his shoulders. Hallelujah. You know, and that is a beautiful thing. That's a good shepherd. It's only a good shepherd who will leave 100 sheep, leave 99 sheep and go after the one. Hallelujah. I believe that the 99 sheep is not really necessarily referring to human beings. It could be other people that Jesus has. Angels who have not rebelled against Jesus. He can leave them. Actually, that is what happened. He left them in heaven and came around the wilderness of the earth looking for us. And he found us and put us on his shoulder. That is the place I want you to see yourself. Even as we have made a fresh start in our lives, we must see ourselves on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. So that what? So that we can see afar off. So that we can enjoy rulership. And we can enjoy rest when we are in Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus is such a good shepherd that he doesn't scold the sheep that he finds. He rather puts them on his shoulder. Wonderful. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 54, which is a follow-up to Isaiah chapter 53, you will see that God swears. He swears by himself that because of the death of Jesus Christ, he will not rebuke us in anger again. Wonderful. So he finds us. He doesn't scold us. He doesn't rebuke us in anger. Look at Isaiah 54 verse 9. He says, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me." In other words, he is referring to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is full of suffering, but Isaiah 54 is the result of the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the result of the cross. And then he comes to verse 9 and says that this is like the waters of Noah to me. What is like the waters of Noah to God? The death of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus. Isaiah 53, he says that it is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. Hallelujah. He says, I will not be angry with you. When I find you, I will never be angry with you. Jesus is never angry with his children. He is never angry with believers. Sometimes the devil wants to give a picture that God is annoyed with us, Jesus is annoyed with us. But he says that the death of Jesus on the cross is equivalent to the waters of Noah, where he swore. Hallelujah. He says that because of what Jesus has done, I swear that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. Look at verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy or grace on you. Hallelujah. So Jesus is never angry with us. He says that I won't be angry with you. I have sworn that I will never be angry. That is why when he found the sheep, he doesn't scold the sheep, but rather he puts the sheep on the shoulder. He wants the sheep to feel like a king. He wants the sheep to feel pampered, to feel blessed. And that is the kind of feeling that you and I must have, no matter the kind of life that we have led. Even when we were unbelievers, the Bible says that Christ died for us. How much more now that we are his children? He loves us even more. He loves us even more because he left all the beautiful, sinless people, and then he came into the earth, into the wilderness, to look for us. And he finds us and he says that my attitude is that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. In other words, put it together, I will not rebuke you in anger. Hallelujah. He rather wants us to feel blessed and pampered. Wonderful. And that is the kind of feeling that the good shepherd wants the sheep to have. Wonderful. It says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the questions I asked myself many years ago when I read this, I asked myself, I shall not want what? Because if you say I shall not want, it is an incomplete sentence. You must speak in context. If you say something like, I shall not want, then you must look at the context and deduce from the kind of things that you will not want or you will not lack. And in context, he began by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads the sheep. In other words, he's saying that I will not want leadership. I will not lack leadership. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack leadership. It is when the Lord Jesus Christ leads us, it is when we submit ourselves to his leadership as a good shepherd, that we will not want any good thing in life. But the primary thing is that we will not want leadership. Hallelujah. But rather, we are going to have leadership. I want you to see yourself as somebody who can be led by God. Being led by God shouldn't be a struggle for his believers, for his sheep. He says that my sheep knows my voice, and I go before them, and they follow me. They don't rebel against me, they follow me. When he says, I shall not want, he is telling us that we should look at ourselves as people who will never lack direction in life. Whatever aspect of your life it is, Jesus is going to lead you. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. So I want you to relax and see yourself being led by Jesus. Even as you tune up to him, he is going to lead you. He's going to lead you. Wonderful. And he's going to make you to enjoy rulership. That is what his leading does. He doesn't lead us into slavery. He doesn't lead us into bondage. He leads us into freedom. He leads us into rulership. He leads us to be on top and not under. Hallelujah. That is why he put the sheep on his shoulder, so that the sheep will feel like a king. In other words, he exposes the sheep to rulership, to his kingdom message, to the king that he is, so that they also become rulers and kings just like him. Hallelujah. So see yourself like that, because Jesus is your good shepherd. And then he says that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. This is wonderful, because that is the first thing that Jesus as a good shepherd does, which is named in the psalm. He says that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. What are the green pastures? Ladies and gentlemen, the green pastures is talking about fresh feeding or fresh grass that we should feed upon. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully so that you do not misunderstand me. There is pasture and there is pasture. There is green pasture, and the characteristic of a green pasture is that it is fresh. It is tender. In the Greek, it talks about he makes me to lie down in pastures of tenderness, or in tender pastures. In other words, what he gives you to eat as a sheep is not stale. It doesn't belong to the past. It can be pasture, all right. It can be food, all right, that you can eat. But Jesus, as a good shepherd, makes sure that you eat the fresh and the new things. Hallelujah. Because there are things in the Bible which are old, and there are things in the Bible which are new. He makes sure that you eat the fresh ones, the ones which are just coming up. The ones which are just coming up. They are tender. They are more nutritious. They haven't been scorched by the sun. They haven't been dried by the sun. He gives us a green pastures where it is tender. And he is referring to the kind of food that we feed our spirits with. Because Jesus Christ, when he came around, he knew that there were old pastures. So he stood on the Mount of Beatitudes when he was talking, and he said that you have heard, it has been said, you shall do this and you shall do that. But I say to you, you have heard that you must hate your enemy and love your friend. But I say unto you, love your enemies. In other words, Jesus was conceding of the fact that there is old pasture. What you have heard people say that believers must do. But he says, I am bringing you a new thing. I am bringing you green pasture. I'm bringing you tender grass, nutritious grass that you must eat. And he's saying that I will make you lie down in abundance of new understanding. There is a new understanding that came with the good shepherd. He came with a fresh understanding, with a fresh food, with fresh grass that his believers or his sheep must feed upon.
If you look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, Peter says something like this. He says that he is going to remind them always, although they are established in the present truth.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So he uses this phrase, the present truth. That means that there is a past truth. It was truth, all right, but it is a past truth. There is a present truth that reinforces what Jesus Christ came to do for us. There is a present truth that reinforces Jesus' performance on the cross for us. And that is what he leads us to eat. He leads us to eat things that enhances him, what he has done for us, because actually he is the grass that we should feed upon. He is the food that we should eat. Hallelujah. He said that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. He is what we must feed upon. And he says that I'll make sure that I give you present truth, not past truth. Now there are some truths which are past, and there are some which are present. The present one are the ones that Jesus Christ brought by his person, by his teachings, and by his performance on the cross. These are the present truth. So every time, as a sheep of the Lord Jesus, you must ask yourself, what I'm eating, does it fit Jesus, who came to feed me, who came to feed me with himself, the freshness of himself? The Bible says that he shall grow up in Isaiah chapter 53 as a tender plant. He came to feed us with himself. Tender pastures, green pastures, soft pastures, gracious pastures. Present truth, truth that exalts Jesus, that does not minimize Jesus and exalt Elijah or exalt some prophets of old. Truth that exalts the prophet that Jesus Christ is to us, because he is the best prophet that we can have. He is the best word of the Lord that we must eat, that we must chew. He is a tender pasture. He says that I will lead my sheep to the green pastures, tender, fresh pastures, because they are parched pastures. They are weeded pastures. Ask yourself, what is going to make you grow in Jesus? They are not the parched pastures, the old truths, but the truth that exalts Jesus. Any truth that does not exalt Jesus and what he did for us on the cross is an old truth. It's an old truth. Every pasture must be passed through the fresh Jesus, the one who came, our good shepherd. If it exalts and promotes his person, if it doesn't push him down, rather exalts him, exalt what he did for us on the cross, then it is a tender pasture. And that is what you must eat. And the Bible says that he makes us to lie down in it. Lie down in it means that he's going to provide you present truth, what I refer to as the kingdom word. He's going to provide you the kingdom word that he is in abundance, so that every time you are reading the Bible, you will see the kingdom word of God in it, so that you can lie down in it. Lying down is a posture of rest. He doesn't agitate us. It's a posture where you can just rest and enjoy what he has done already for you. Hallelujah. Those are the things that are nutritious for his sheep, nutritious for your growth. Hallelujah. On the other hand, you can choose to feed on parched pastures, withered pastures. But that is not a food that Jesus Christ will give you. It can fill your stomach as a sheep, and you can feel blessed that, oh, I have listened to the word of God. The question you must ask yourself, did it exalt the person of Jesus? Did it focus me on Jesus? Did it focus me on what he did on the cross for us? Did it focus me on his performance for me right now in heaven? What he's saying about me? What he thinks about me? Does it promote that idea? If it promotes it, then it is the green pasture that he makes you to lie down in. The book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 also says that, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. This is talking about the kingdom way. This is talking about the green pasture. He says that let it abide in you richly. In other words, have it in abundance. Have kingdom words in abundance. Lie down in abundance. Have an abundance of the revelation of what the good shepherd came to do for us. Beginning from the fact that he pampers us. He takes us and puts us on the shoulder so that we can rest. And on top, he will lead us to lie down. The Bible says, he makes me. In other words, he tells you that lie down, my son. Lie down. Lie down. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, in pastures that exalt him. Hallelujah. And those are the things that must greatly or richly dwell in us. Other ones, you must know it just to be able to know the difference. You must know about parched pastures. Oh, you must know, but you keep them in the museum of your heart. Hallelujah. Museum is a place that you keep treasured things that belongs to the past. You no more practice them. You no more believe them. But you don't forget that they were there. It throws a light on the new things that you are doing right now. It makes you to know the richness of the green pasture. When you look at the greenness, the tenderness, the fresh, the new ones which have come. And then you look at the withered ones and you bless the name of the Lord Jesus for the wonderful feeding that he gives unto us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, so that is the first thing that a good shepherd does. A good shepherd feeds the sheep. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 3 says that, I will give them shepherds after my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The question I asked myself some years back when I read this scripture was that, who is a shepherd after the heart of God? Because I could see that God can have a shepherd who is not after his heart. In other words, a shepherd that he didn't willingly release to go and lead the sheep. But they compel themselves to go and lead the sheep. They are not shepherds after his heart. Hallelujah. But there is a shepherd after the heart of God. How do you know it? He gives us shepherds after his heart. Their characteristic is that they feed you with what? With knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. He's talking about knowledge and understanding of himself. There is nothing, no feeding that you can get which will please God more than giving his sheep a knowledge and understanding about himself. Hallelujah. So a pastor after the heart of God is a pastor who feeds you with knowledge and understanding, and there are benefits in that. Hallelujah. That's Jeremiah chapter 3. So he says this, that after the first thing that I do, I'm feeding you. He says that I lead you beside still waters. That's powerful. Because he feeds us and then he leads us to refreshing. Have you seen the pampering? There is so much pampering that the good shepherd does for the sheep. But you see, sometimes we don't like to be pampered. You know, we feel like, let me do something on my own. Let me do something. Why is it everything has been done? Let me do something. Do you remember The parable he gave in Luke chapter 15 about this shepherd with 100, lost one, and left them all, came looking for the one. Says that he put him on the shoulder, and then he walked. I've told you that we are still on the shoulder. We haven't gotten to the place of proper celebration, which is going to take place one day when we go to heaven. He will call everybody and says, come, the proper joy has come. I have found them. These are the sheep. I have found them. Now, he puts the sheep on the shoulder, and you ask yourself, then the sheep cannot use his legs. True. We have legs, but we are not supposed to use it in this life. We are not supposed to be doing our own walking. Somebody must walk. We must just be on the shoulder of the person, and he will take us in our life's journey until the end. And at the end of our life's journey, we will turn back and we will say that we didn't walk. The life that I live, it's not me living. It is Christ who is living through me. Hallelujah. I have nothing to boast about because I could not do anything on my own until he came and put me on his shoulder, because my legs only led me astray. Now, with his legs, I can only go to places that God has destined for me to go. So you ask yourself, then, what is the need for the legs of the sheep? Your legs right now. Your legs is talking about the efforts that you will make in this life. But he says that no effort, no effort. That is why he leads us beside still waters. In the Greek, it is the waters of rest. He leads us beside waters of rest. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Jesus is our rest. He is our Sabbath. Hallelujah. He fulfills the law. When you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you have Sabbath. You have fulfilled the Sabbath. Do you understand? It doesn't mean that you don't rest when you are tired. No, you rest. But the thing is that your real Sabbath is the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He said in the book of Matthew chapter 11 or so, he said, I come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, that is what he says. He says, I will rest you, or I will give you rest. When he puts you on the shoulder, he is giving you rest. Hallelujah. That is why he leads us beside waters of rest. Because the waters of rest, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about the water of the Word of God that brings rest into our lives. I will say that there are waters of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the water of the Word, washing of water by the Word. So he takes the sheep beside the waters of rest, and his intention is that we would take in words, kingdom words that rest us. Because the kingdom word that Jesus Christ is always rests us. Because he has done everything. He says that it is finished. He's done everything. All that we have to do is to rest. Hallelujah. When he ascended to heaven, God told him that, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And guess what? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are seated with Jesus at the right hand side of the Father. Hallelujah. He sits, we sit. The Bible says, as he is in heaven, so are we on this earth. In heaven, he is not working, is he? He is working, but what is he doing? He is seated. He is seated. So if as he is in heaven, so am I in this world, then it means that in this world, I must also sit down. I must also sit down and rest. Rest in what Jesus Christ has done already. The good shepherd will never lead you to feed on the waters of the word, to drink from the waters of the word. That doesn't enhance what he has already done. That is why he feeds you, and then he leads you to waters of rest. where you can rest in his finished work, as God did to Adam. He finished everything. He created everything. And then he told man, and then he created man. When man came around, everything had already been created. Everything had already been done. Man just entered into the seventh day, which was a day of rest. God introduced mankind to rest. That's the first day. That is the kind of life he wants us to live. The first life of man was a life of rest, resting in the garden, because the hand of God himself planted the garden. The Bible says that the Lord God planted the garden in the eastern side of Eden, and then he created a man and put him there. Do you know what he told him to do? He just told him to decorate it and to maintain it. Because he had done everything, created everything. Whatever thing that had to be done had been done already. Man was just to keep it. Not create anything, not do anything on his own. But what I've done, just maintain it. Don't add to it, don't subtract away from it. Just make it the way, just maintain it. Hallelujah. Because the work has been finished by him. That is why he leads us to the waters of rest. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about a new chapter open, I want you to see yourself as a sheep who is on the shoulder of the good shepherd. He leads you to feed upon present truth that enhances his person and his work. And then he leads you to waters of rest that makes you rest in what he has done. Because there are words of God that you can read from the Bible that doesn't give you rest. It agitates you. It makes you to see that there is something you have to do. But there are other words in the Bible. I call them the kingdom words. Those are the present truth that glorifies and promotes what Jesus Christ has done already. Because he has finished doing it, there is nothing else to be done. Hallelujah. Than to rest. Rest in what? What he has done. Admire what he has done. What he did for you on the cross. He took your sickness. Just admire it. Just meditate on it. He took your shame. Just admire. Just meditate upon it. He took your sins. It's not now that you're going to take away your sins, doing penance, trying to punish yourself. No. Just feel pampered that somebody has taken it away. And just meditate upon it. It is finished. Just rest. Just rest. And glorify him who did it for you. Hallelujah. That is the way that the good shepherd leads his sheep. He leads us to still waters. And let me tell you something. Still waters are deep waters. Waters which are moving are not deep. You can look at the sea. In the very deep seas, it's not like the shore. Hallelujah. Still waters, don't joke. Because if you don't take care, you'll drown in it. It looks cool. It looks inviting. But step into it unadvisedly, you'll be in trouble. But Jesus Christ leads his sheep to deep waters. Waters which are deep. Because the Lord is deep. And deep always calls unto deep. Hallelujah. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, because God is a dimensionalist and there are dimensions in him, eternity is not enough to unravel all the dimensions in the Lord. In other words, there is growth in the Lord. You always go and go and go and you will not have an end, because he has no beginning and he has no end. So is the Lord Jesus. He has no beginning really and he has no end really.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.